Hi, everybody. Welcome to the NovaCare Complex and Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com on this glorious Tuesday. I'm Dave Spadaro, and do we ever have a lot to talk about? Last night, the Eagles opening the 2013 season, the debut of head coach Chip Kelly, a 33-27 hold-on-to-your-hat victory over the Washington Redskins. The Eagles offense in gear in the first half, 53 offensive plays, 26 points, up and down the field they went. The Eagles accounting for more than 300 yards in the first half, and then it slowed down. And at the end of the day, the Eagles needed a recovery of an onside kick by Jake Knott to clinch the victory at FedEx Field. An NFC East win, LeSean McCoy going crazy. 31 carries, 184 yards, and a touchdown against the Washington Redskins. So a thrilling game. Michael Vick, two touchdown passes, a touchdown run. Early on, Brent Celek making it happen. You saw a bunch of different formations, and I'm breathless. We've got so much to talk about. Defense stepping up, shutting down RG3 for three quarters. Special teams outstanding the entire game. And let me tell you something. This is just the beginning. Short week for you. Chip Kelly comes along at about 12:40, 12:45 to meet the media. So we'll get all caught up on that. But we want to hear from you today. We know you're excited. We're excited in the building. Tremendous surge of energy as the Eagles open the 2013 season in fine style. Let's get you caught up on everything with our headlines of the day.
Thanks, Dave. It's a glorious set of Tuesday morning headlines. The Eagles raced out to a 33-7 lead and held on for a 33-27 victory over the Washington Redskins. Michael Vick accumulating 203 passing yards, also gained 54 yards on the ground. In all, he had three touchdowns in the win. LeSean McCoy rushed for 184 yards, one shy of his personal best. In fact, he is the league's leading rusher through the first week of the NFL season. He has been nominated for the FedEx Ground Player of the Week award. The defense stepping up big, forcing three turnovers and also scoring a safety. Kerry Williams, Brandon Boykin, each recording an interception. Trent Cole forcing a fumble that was key in the first quarter of the contest. The Eagles making one roster move, bringing back Brandon Hughes. The cornerback could not play Monday night due to a hand injury anyway. The Eagles had to make no corresponding roster moves because they held that spot open on the roster. Coming up a little later in the show, Chip Kelly will give his day after address. He was certainly happy and excited to get that first win under his belt. Now that he's had a chance to review the game tape, let's see what his thoughts are on the team's overall performance. That's going to do it for the Tuesday morning headlines. Let's send it back to the Xfinity studio with Dave Spadaro.
Thank you very much, Chris McPherson. Great job on the post-game show with Adam and AJ last night. Now the fans reacting with full vim and vigor, excitement in the air, not only in Philadelphia, around the world. Let's take a look at what some of the fans said on Twitter last night and today. At OSAP_Rocky, that Philly Celek TD play was amazing. Yes, it was. Fake wide receiver screen pass setup, tie up the middle. Brilliant. Hashtag Eagles. At forever_A_Hawk. This Redskins defense looks straight up confused at times versus the Eagles. D players running around like they don't know where to go. Indeed. And at It's Joe Romeo, them birds making me proud. Hashtag Eagles. And how about these guys? Let's take a little note of what they're saying. I mean, they're complimenting everyone, special teams, offense, and defense. And finally, even the big-time celebrity Eagles fans chiming in. At Kobe Bryant, great flow, hashtag Eagles, hashtag keep focus. One game doesn't make a season, but it's a darn good start. Thank you, Kobe. Get better soon. Don't we all feel that way? It's one game, but what a start. Let's take a look at some of the notes from a truly historic game for Philadelphia for head coach Chip Kelly, one of just five rookie Eagles head coaches to win his NFL head coaching debut. And, I mean, it was just an impressive game. And Chip will be along shortly to meet the media. 18 total players making their debut in an Eagles uniform, including seven who played in their first NFL game. 10th, I believe the 10th youngest roster in the NFL. Young football team, people. In the first half, check this out. 21 first downs, matching the number of plays run by the Redskins in the first two quarters. Wow! 53 plays at halftime, 77 in all. That's the most plays in that first half of an NFL game since the Vikings had 56 in 1998. Eagles had 26 first half points, matched their high for points in a game from all of last year. And they left points on the field, people. That's what's so exciting. Now, we all thought that Chip Kelly would run the football, and the Eagles did that. They had 49 rushing attempts. That's the most since 1997. 263 rushing yards, the most since 2002. That game against the Minnesota Vikings. Big one for Deuce Staley that day at the Vet. LeSean McCoy, what a game, what a night, what a start to his season. He's the leading rusher in the NFL. 184 rushing yards. He had 178 of those yards between the tackles Monday. And that's just amazing. I mean, he made people miss all game long. The offensive line doing a terrific job as well. And the Eagles spreading the field like we thought they would and letting McCoy do his thing. Bryce Brown, a nice complimentary role. Chris Polk, get ready. The way we see things here, look at that. Whoop, whoop, where he is. Where is he? There he goes. LeSean McCoy driving the Redskins completely nuts, crazy. And then when it was time to drop back and throw the football, LeSean McCoy out in the open field making some good things happen. That's his only reception of the game. Really thought going into the game that he wouldn't quite get 32 touches. But look at this one. I mean, just running up the field, taking some hits, keeps on going. LeSean McCoy nominated for that FedEx Ground Player of the Week. I think fairly foregone conclusion that he will win that game. LeSean McCoy, tremendous performance. Inside the Eagles locker room last night, it was a long night, long game, fun times. The Eagles locker room reacting in an extremely positive way.
About that, I talked to him about it last night. You know, it still is a game. You know, and I think sometimes we all take ourselves too seriously. I mean, we love playing football and there's a passion with it, but that's the way it should be played. And I had a lot of fun tonight.
It was a crazy game. I mean, I've never been a part of anything like it. When the first quarter was over, I thought we was about to go into halftime. I mean, it was unreal.
We came down here on the train together. We were all one team together. And, you know, we went on the field and we played like one team. So, you know, as long as we're able to do that every Sunday, every Monday, every Thursday when we play games, you know, I think this is a team that could, you know, end up in the playoffs and, you know, hopefully, you know, take it all the way.
I got to say, today is the first time that I think a lot of guys on the locker room had, like, fun. You know, we couldn't wait to get back out there to have fun. I mean, that feeling. I mean, the whole first half, we're going up and down, up and down, up and down.
The most gratifying part of this whole thing was that the players and the techniques that we've been working so hard on and the assistant coach have been drilling, the guys used it and it showed up. And we did a nice job against their run game, had some pressure, caused some turnovers, had the points down for the longest time. At the end there, got a little loose on us, and they came back. But part of that is trying to win the game. And you win on the road in the division, that's like a win and a half.
Guys just did their job, made the plays they're supposed to make. No one tried to overcompensate for someone else. Everybody's just in the right position.
After a great week of practice and just showed that I prepared well. You know, the interception was cool, and you know, I just want to do anything that could help my team win, man. And I'm doing whatever it takes.
I heard some Eagles chants in the stands, which we were always excited about that. But you know, as we've said since day one, it's a game, and it doesn't have to be run like a business. And we don't run practice like a business. We don't run our training sessions like a business. We got a bunch of guys that are excited to be at work every single day, and they make us as coaches make sure we come to work every day, be ready for them, because these guys are going to challenge you in the meeting room, you know, from an X and O standpoint, because they're so knowledgeable in the game, and it keeps us sharp, it keeps them sharp, and it's a lot of fun. It's a real good group to be around.
It was awesome. You know, we've got to see us practice at hyper speed. We've got to see how the players prepare. in ways that maximize their energy. It's been since April, and it was wonderful to see it laid out in the very first regular season game. I would say, you know, you have great dreams and you have nightmares. That was a great dream.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Like most of you, I grew up a passionate Eagles fan. Sundays during football season meant food, family, and fun, screaming at the TV for just about every play. But unfortunately, there are too many families throughout our region that struggle every day just to get by. And I'm proud to know that Eagles Youth Partnership is helping to serve more than 50,000 kids each year. Now, when you support EYP, you support not only your team, but also your community.
I'm Chip Kelly, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We want to make sure that all of you Eagles fans who are so excited about the start of this season, going to give you a little reward today. Because when the Eagles win, you win. Today on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, free shipping on all orders over $50. Use the code START2013. At checkout today only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. And by the way, let me just say this. The fans, tremendous show of support again on the road at FedEx Field last night. And in a really hostile environment, Eagles fans were super, super loud early in the game. I'm sure you could hear it through the television screen. And then coming off the field at the end, the sideline scene was great. Eagles fans wearing their love literally on their sleeves for this football team. So all of the emotion that the Redskins fans brought, the return of Robert Griffin III to the field, hey, it got drowned out by the Eagles on the field and Eagles fans off the field. Now, that first half was something to behold for the Philadelphia Eagles. You've heard about it, you've talked about it, but it's certainly worth reliving one more time. Check out these numbers from the first half. So what jumps out at you? Well, clearly the first downs are insane. The Eagles, 21 first downs versus 21 total plays for the Redskins. 322 total yards for the Eagles. Great mix of run and pass. But if you look really closely, just one of two in the red zone, opportunities in the red zone, a big turnover that gave the Redskins 7 points. Opportunities for the Eagles to put more points on the board. And I am absolutely certain that Chip Kelly and the coaches are going to harp on that this week. The total statistics for the game in a 33-27 victory for Philadelphia, impressive. The defense, those numbers do not indicate just how well Bill Davis and his group played. They allowed 382 yards, but in that first half, the Redskins, when they were played out of the game, shut down to nothing. Robert Griffin III chased around the field. Eagles had three takeaways and ultimately win this football game. The offense, well, what can you say about them? The defense is really what I think everybody came into the regular season looking at and saying, boy, is this defense going to be good enough to win some close games? Well, they showed they could. They went after RG3 with a really good variety of blitzes, good coverage. Boykin and Williams and Fletcher in the secondary. Jordan Poyer getting a lot of playing time up the middle. It was excellent work from Michael Kendricks and D'Amico Ryans and Trent Cole dominating from his linebacker, defensive end position. The Eagles swarming to the football. An outstanding performance for three quarters. Now, Bill Davis probably would like to keep a little bit more pressure on the quarterback on the line of scrimmage for four quarters. But guys like Bradley Fletcher there really responding to an aggressive game plan. And the Eagles coming up big when they needed it against the Washington Redskins. Now, Philadelphia's offense led by quarterback Michael Vick, who thrives in this up-tempo scheme. Drop back, get rid of the football, spread the field, and spread the love. 15 of 25 for Vick, more than 200 yards passing. Two touchdown passes, one touchdown run. Interesting to watch the Eagles up front. A lot of cut blocks, good work on the perimeter. Getting the football in the middle of the field to DeSean Jackson. Getting the football underneath to some receivers. Jackson had a big game, seven catches, 100 plus yards, and that touchdown that opened things up for the Eagles early in the game. But Michael Vick, decisive, moved when he had to, got rid of the football accurately for the most part, and Philadelphia doing a terrific job there. So there you go, Michael Vick. 60% completions, 203 passing yards, two touchdowns, a nice quarterback rating of 112.6, and nine big carries for 54 yards. Most important for Michael Vick, great ball security. How about DeSean Jackson and what he brings to this offense? Yeah, number 10, fired up before the game. Getting into it during the game with cornerback D'Angelo Hall. And then when it came to game time, DeSean Jackson was on the money. Got free, caught the football, went up the field, and then delivered when he had to in those bubble screens. The game there got down, didn't take big hits. And when the Eagles had a chance to gash on third downs, they spread it around, and DeSean Jackson sharing in the success for this offense in a very large way. Here is the touchdown throw to Jackson off the play action fake along the back of the end zone. Touchdown Eagles against D'Angelo Hall, and a little bit of celebration for DeSean. And there's the numbers. Nine targets, seven catches, 104 receiving yards. A great start to the season for number 10. In the running game, well, we all kind of thought the Eagles would run the football, right? I mean, that's what Chip Kelly did at Oregon. Certainly followed through in game number one against the Redskins. The Eagles, awesome on the ground. And one of the reasons, well, the main reason, right there, number 25, LeSean McCoy. Now, last year, an up-and-down season for McCoy. Had some injury problems. Had an excellent offseason. Came back last night and started his year the right way. 1 yard off a career high. Look at the moves he's making to get away from Washington's frustrated defensive front. No doubt the San Diego Chargers watching this and saying, boy, we got to control number 25. He is the primary weapon for this Philadelphia Eagles offense. LeSean McCoy doing it out of the shotgun, making people miss. When he got into the open field, he secured the football. Great job from him. Had a big touchdown run and just moved the chains, kept everything going forward. Not a lot of tackles for losses. The Eagles stayed out of third and long situations. And McCoy breaking tackles, a lot of his yardage obviously between the tackles as well. The Eagles defense, well, we'll get to that in a second. Here's LeSean McCoy, 31 carries, 184 yards, a rushing touchdown. Probably doesn't want to have 32 touches each week, but the Eagles needed him on Monday night. Now, Bill Davis's defense through the first four preseason games, a lot of criticism. On Monday night, they came out with an aggressive, really go-to-the-football attack. They forced a couple of turnovers on the Redskins' first two plays. Also had a safety in there. Trent Cole, in his new position, was dominant up front, coming off the edge, working against Trent Williams. The Eagles doing an excellent job setting the edge, stringing out a really dangerous perimeter Washington run game, and the Eagles doing the job. That's the number one run offense in the NFL 1 year ago. Well, against the Eagles, that run offense accounting for just, count it up, 74 yards on 18 carries. Take a look at some of the stars here. Kerry Williams, the newest Eagle cornerback, at least through the free agency period. A couple of tackles, a sack, a quarterback hit, a big interception, and some really nice plays in coverage. Michael Kendricks, 10 tackles, great pressure up the middle. couple of quarterback hits and a tackle for loss. D'Amico Ryans, 8 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, and 1 quarterback hit. Well, we're not done yet. The special teams cannot be overlooked, and we talked about it last week. Special teams had to win this battle, and they did. Alex Henry, his kickoffs, 3 touchbacks of his 6 kickoffs. And when he wasn't kicking off for a touchback, look at the plays Chris Polk was making. Inside the 10-yard line, Chris Polk and Brandon Boykin and the crew doing an outstanding job in coverage. The Redskins averaging less than 20 yards per kickoff return. Alex Henry adding a 48-yard field goal. That's the second longest of his already outstanding NFL career. How about Donnie Jones? 4 of his 6 punts inside the 20-yard line. And what you see here is great hang time. And look at the coverage. Bam! Down on him. James Casey making the big play there. Donnie Jones banging out a 61-yarder when he had a chance to stretch out the leg. Oh, I'm sorry. Alex Henry's field goal was the 3rd longest of his already outstanding NFL career. All right, so we're 1 week in to this NFL season, and why not take a look at the standings, right? When you're at the top, you want to take a look at the standings. And the Eagles are at the top of the NFC East with a win over the Redskins, along with the Dallas Cowboys. Long, long way to go. And, of course, as we look ahead, just a little peek, the Eagles in the midst of a brutal 3 games in 11-day stretch. On Sunday, the San Diego Chargers, who are smarting after their loss last night, they blew a 28-7 lead against the Houston Texans. The Chargers and Phillip Rivers coming to town. The Lincoln Financial Field season opener, 1 o'clock kickoff. Make sure you have your TV on, your volume down, listening to Merle and Mike on the Eagles Radio Network, and then your computer on to all of our coverage on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, which begins at 12:30 with our kickoff show. And then I am joined by Jeremiah Trotter and Adam Kaplan for the postgame show presented by Rico. We want your reaction next. Give us a call, 215-339-6709. Chip Kelly coming up shortly. Next up, Eagles fans react to the win over the Redskins on Monday Night Football. We're coming.
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Gold Rush, with 15 top prizes of $300,000. It's kind of fun to make a splash. Keep on scratching.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a southern-style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Jerry Azzanero, defensive line coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Welcome back. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live comes your way this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 11 a.m. Chip Kelly coming up in just a few moments here as the Eagles will quickly transition from the big win on Monday night to what's ahead on Sunday when the San Diego Chargers come to town. A reminder, we take predictions during the week, Wednesday and Thursday this week. And last week, Gary in Southwest Florida wins a piece of Eagles autographed merchandise. He picked the Eagles to win 33-24. So we look forward to your phone calls Wednesday and Thursday. Give us your predictions, Eagles and the San Diego Chargers. And if you win, we send you out a piece of autographed merchandise. That's how it works. All right, time to get some reaction from the fans. Let's go down to Virginia. And Chris is calling in Redskins country. And I'm sure, Chris, you are so giddy. I mean, that's the word of the week, right? Last week, Chip Kelly said he was giddy. We're all giddy now.
Oh, Dave, I'm super giddy, man. This past week, you know, I heard so much. We're going to kill you guys. You guys don't have a chance. And it was just awesome to watch. I was at a Redskins fan's house watching it, and the guy was scared. You know, he said, you know, I'm scared. This is a high-tempo offense, and it was looking good, and the defense played great, too.
You know, it's interesting, Chris. I had a lot of reactions during the game. Obviously, the first drive that the Eagles had, you're saying, wow. I mean, look at this offense. Look how quick-tempo it is. Look how crisp everything is. And then they turn the football over, and you're like, okay, let's see how the Eagles are going to react here. Last year, it might not have gone this way. This year, the offense kept going and going and going. So that's one side of it. I thought Bill Davis had a great defensive scheme. In retrospect, to think that RG3, 8 months and 3 days after surgery, having had no preseason, thinking that he would be sharp, kind of fool's gold there. And the Eagles took advantage of him, and they beat up on the Redskins at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they definitely did. I mean, if you think about it, if you would have told me that RG3 and those guys would have had 0 points at halftime, I mean, cause essentially the offense didn't score any points for them. And yeah, I mean, the pressure was great. I mean, Trent Cole was the big guy I was kind of keeping my eye on. He played absolutely crazy. Michael Kendricks was a madman. D'Amico played great. Kerry Williams brought it. It was just great, Dave. It was an exciting time to be a Eagles fan. And there's nothing better than, you know, beating the hometown team here. And I'll let you go on some other calls. And let's go Birds, baby.
Glad you're fired up. Thanks for the call, Chris. I will say this about Trent Cole. I mean, you know, last year, tough year for him. Sack and a half. Everybody wondering, does he still have it? Showed last night that he still got that fire, still got that burst, still got that tenacity. Didn't seem to drop a lot in coverage. So you kind of want to keep going forward. And that's what he did. And so he led the charge. And Kendricks and D'Amico and Connor Barwin, the front seven, Fletcher Cox, outstanding job. Everybody. They rotated in everyone. Bill Davis used every single player he had on defense, and they all played a lot of snaps. So I was staying in Virginia, and John joins us on Eagles Live today. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. How's it going, man?
Great. Thanks. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, I wanted to first say that, you know, love what you do with the show, and appreciate you having me on.
Thank you.
You know, last night was a great win for, I think, a lot of reasons, but primarily it showcased, you know, what everyone was looking for. To see in that offense and see, you know, how productive they can really be at full throttle, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think last night, John, I mean, you tell me how you feel. I went into the game with a very open mind, not quite knowing what to expect. Hopeful, but not really knowing. Now the bar is raised, right? Now
right.
You go out there in this offense, if the defense are going to catch up here, and then the Eagles are going to have to adjust. It's going to be a chess match back and forth. It's not going to be as easy as it was in the first half. We all know that.
Right.
But boy.
My biggest concern, though, with, you know, moving forward is I know what they're trying to do from a strength conditioning standpoint is to raise the bar and raise the level of their conditioning so they can out-compete their opponents on a conditioning standpoint. It just looked like to me, and maybe this will change over the season, but it looked like to me that they kind of lost some gas because they were, you know, operating at such a high level early. And I'm wondering if that fatigue is going to play a big part in their games going into the second half and in the second half of the season.
You know, hey, John, thanks for the call. It's a question that needs to be answered. I have a couple thoughts on it. Number one, every single player on this roster matters. Okay. Chris Polk's going to have to play. Every player on defense is going to have to play. They're going to have to develop some depth up front offensively. Demaris Johnson, who wasn't used at all, key player. I wish the NFL's would change its dumb rule of making players inactive. It makes no sense to me. I would love to have 53 players active every week. It would help. But no question, the Eagles are going to have to show that they can play at this pace every week. Did they take their foot off the gas? Maybe. I think Chip Kelly kind of said yeah. I think Bill Davis wishes he kind of kept on the burners, the pressure. So, will if my biggest worry is how the Eagles are going to protect 33-7 leads in the second half of games, we've made a lot of progress. Staying in Virginia, anybody outside of Virginia want to call us, please do. Let's go to Abrar joining us.
Hey, Dave. How's it going, man?
Great. How are you?
I'm great.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a while, but
yes, sir.
I just want to give you a call. Definitely a great way to start off the season. And I liked what I saw last night. Obviously, there was, we can get better in a lot of areas. But it was definitely, refreshing to see, we start off the year right.
Yeah. The Eagles, now, Abrar, let me ask you this. Going into the game, what was your expectation?
I really thought that the Eagles were going to put up points. And I saw this coming, but I thought that the Redskins may have taken us, they weren't at their best, let's put it that way. And I expected an Eagles victory, and did I expect 33-7? No, but I saw enough in the preseason, and knowing Chip Kelly, I thought that they moved the ball like I thought they would. The only one thing I'll be concerned. I'm concerned is that the way Vic is. Running 40 yards down the field to block for LeSean McCoy. I really don't want him to do that.
I think he, and thanks for the call, Abrar. I think he looked to the sideline after that one run and smiled. And I think the coach probably said, let's try to save the body a little bit. No need to block here. All right, we're going to come back. We'll take a little break here. When we come back, we take more phone calls, 215-339-6709, the number. It's Eagles Live. Chip Kelly coming up in just a few moments. The day after the Eagles beat the Redskins, the Chargers are next. The head coach has a lot to talk about. We're coming right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
We'd love to hear what you think about the X1 platform. Give me something to search.
Mindy Kaling.
Sure, let's do that.
Awesome. It's everything me all in one place.
Check this out. This is great. What should I watch?
The Mindy Project.
Okay, I wasn't even asking you. The X1 recommends things based on stuff I've watched. So.
The Mindy Project.
Okay. You'd search by genre if you... If
Mindy
you
Kaling cute. Okay, I'm just gonna take this. Mindy Kaling sexy.
Recommendations, search, and voice control, all part of the X1 platform, your entertainment operating system, only from Xfinity.
I'm Bob Bicknell, wide receivers coach, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you back to the NovaCare Complex. Chip Kelly coming up in just a few moments. In the meantime, we take some phone calls here. Dave in New York joining us here on Eagles Live. Davey boy.
How's it going, man?
I'm great.
Last night.
Fired up. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm actually, not to look too far in the future, but I'm really curious to see this offense versus Dallas because Monty Kiffin's there. And Chip used to really beat up on him, put up 600, 700 yards on him per game. So
I'll take it. I think the interesting thing in talking to Michael as he was waiting, I had a little interesting exchange you'll see on Spud Cam in a bit. So after Michael does his press conference, the locker room's emptying out. Michael goes back out to the ESPN set with Stuart Scott, Steve Young, and Ray Lewis, and they're kind of all chit-chatting. And keep this in mind, teams, unless you're coming off a bye week, teams only have 1 week to prepare for what this offense brings to the table. And I mean, the Redskins had months, and look what they did. So it'll be really interesting to see how defenses react to what the Eagles are trying to do. I still think at times they're going to slow down the pace a bit. I don't think it's going to be breakneck speed the entire time. And I saw with the Cowboys and the Giants, the game on Sunday night, and the Giants moved the football up and down the field but turned it over a lot. And, you know, the Cowboys are trying to move to a 4-3 after years in a 3-4, so they're going through a transition too. But it's going to be a season of adjustments. And the coaching staff that adjusts the best, as we've seen not only from week to week but from game to game, will be the coaching staff that wins the most games.
Yeah, man, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised with the defense. I actually went through all week telling friends that we'd look good on offense, but probably not so much on defense, so it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I thought the defense was great. I thought the defense, for three grand, thanks, Dave, for the phone call. For the most part, the defense really played good football, and pressure, they were sure in their assignments. How about the tackling last night? I watched football all weekend. And I saw missed tackles everywhere. Didn't see a ton of them last night. And so that was really encouraging. The Eagles, they must continue to be physical and sell out and just go to the football as a group. And that's your key to successful defense. And look, the Kerry Williams thing, couldn't be happier to see the way he played. And Bradley Fletcher, same thing. Eagles were lousy at cornerback last year. They weren't last night. All right, let's go to Las Vegas and talk to Jimmy the Geek. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Dave, we just pulled off a two-win night. It's a division road win.
Yep, that's very true.
Dave, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Never eat a burger on
That was a great sandwich provided by Amoroso and the delicious rolls. Now, I hope that you tailgated yesterday, Jimmy, but can you get Amoroso rolls in Vegas?
No, we get nothing. We got Capriotti's out here.
Don't you wish you could have some delicious Amoroso rolls right now?
Hey, you're killing me. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What's a better feeling? Draft night when we got Lane Johnson, who I predicted 6 weeks before,
like or, one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or last night, for which I will see you in Oakland, by the way.
Yeah.
But what was a better feeling? It was like the same feeling.
No, I thought last night was the chance for all of these months of work and the seclusion and the mystery and the suspense. It all came together last night. Now, I can tell you this, Jimmy. Anybody who wants to go to the Eagles game on Sunday or has a ticket is looking – cannot wait till Sunday gets here. You cannot wait to watch kickoff on Sunday. Eagles football is the last couple of years were tough, and it was frustrating.
We're going to have to lose weight, man, because there's going to be a lot of people coming on the band, all these scribes, all these guys that
welcome. Hey, I've been saying this for years. I will never turn down anybody. Oh, Chip Kelly. Hey, thanks, Jimmy. Chip Kelly in the podium or in the auditorium now, meeting the media.
Last night of thinking maybe you took your foot off the gas a little too early, but obviously, unless I'm wrong, you don't want to play hurry up with a 33-7 lead. How do you keep momentum if you slow down the offense?
It's a great question. You know, I think part of what we do in our success is that we get into a rhythm, you know, when it's almost like trying to get that first down. So it's not as much taking your foot off the gas from the standpoint of the tempo that you play up, but it's just clock a little bit, you know, because it starts to get into a possession game, you know, so when it's 33-7, how many scores, it's four scores, how many possessions are left in the second half, and do they have enough time left on the clock, and, you know, are you just putting them out there, you know, obviously you don't think you're going to turn the ball over, but you also don't want to go three and out and just waste 20 seconds off the clock. So it's a fine line, but it's something as I get a better feel for our guys, and they get a better feel for us. You know, it's something that you're always going to continually to work on because 4-minute offense, so to speak, is just as important as a 2-minute offense. So
you mentioned the turnover that you guys had, Avanti. Yeah. But when you look back at that last 10 minutes, what did you see from your defense as far as why the Redskins were able to put three?
Yeah, I think we put them on the field a little bit, you know, and I think it's the same thing is that you have to be able to make some plays defensively too. And you also give them credit. You know, obviously we got out to a great start defensively to start the game, but you knew when with someone of RG3's talent and the guys they got there that, you know, that wasn't going to be a game where they just kept serving up plays to us. So, you know, you always wondered when you're going to take a shot. You know, are they going to make a counterpunch to what you're doing to them? So, you know, it's a game that's always going to be – most games in this league are always contested, so it's always going to be close. So.
Taking your foot off the pedal also, you talked about knowing your players, but also knowing a little more about the NFL and how teams are – capable of coming back, perhaps.
No, they're capable of coming back everywhere. So, I mean, it's got nothing to do with the league that you're playing in. It's just how do you work the clock and how do your players understand, you know, and you got to do – we got to practice it a little bit more. You know, we do a lot of things at such a rapid tempo. I think our guys understand tempo and do that pretty good. But we also have to learn how to practice, you know, playing it the other way, really from a mindset standpoint. Then, you know, we do everything 90 miles an hour, and then now you got to go back to driving through the city streets. You can't drive 90 miles an hour anymore. You need to kind of slow it down and make sure you can still negotiate the turn. So, you know, that's just a work in progress. We haven't been together for a ton of time, so it's a matter of just getting a feel as we go through it. So it's got nothing to do with leagues or anything like that.
A lot of guys that were watching the game felt like it was moving really fast. Your head's almost spinning, seeing how fast the offense moved. In your first game for you, did it feel like the game and the tempo was moving really fast, or did it kind of feel like this is what I'm used to?
No, I felt like it was slow, to be honest with you. And we had to do – I'm not being joking. I mean, we had to do a better job. We left the ball on the ground too much. We didn't get the ball to the officials. We could have sped things up from a process in between plays, and that's something we need to continue to work on.
You just about tempo being not as important as play selection in terms of managing a lead. Traditionally, that means more runs than passes. Is that going to be also a fine line because it looks like LeSean is so much of a big part of getting you going and getting you those leads?
I didn't understand that question at all.
If when you're trying to sit on a lead, if you're trying to shorten the game in the second half when you have a lead, traditionally in the NFL, all football. That means more runs and passes.
Yeah.
The clock doesn't stop as much. Because LeSean is such a big part, apparently, of what it's going to take you to get those leads, is that also going to be a fine line in the second half and later in games in terms of how much work that he's going to be able to get?
No, I mean, we've got to do a better job of rotating some of those guys. You know, and I think we've talked about it as a staff. You know, we need to see Bryce a little bit more. We need to get Chris in the game. You know, we need to rotate our receivers a little bit more. When you're going to play that many snaps, you got to make sure that you don't run your own team into the ground. So that's a, you know, kind of getting those guys subbed in and out. There was a few times the first half they didn't want to come out, but they've got to understand, you know, if we're going to get that many snaps, then we need to make sure we manage it so that when we're in the fourth quarter, we're fresher. So, you know, that's just a coaching deal with all of us and making sure that we distribute those reps.
Did you sense fatigue at all in the fourth quarter?
From our players?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think you always sense fatigue in the fourth quarter, no matter what team you're on or what you did. You know, you've played a game. So in the fourth quarter, you're not going to be as fresh as you were in the first quarter. So the biggest thing is just to be not as fatigued as the team you're playing against. So,
Chip, there are a few instances where Vic ended up being a blocker on some of the running plays.
Those are not by design.
Not by design.
No, not at all.
So what do you do?
Tell Mike not to do it. Simply.
I mean, how do you stop him, though, from being Mike? There was another time where he ran down the sidelines. He had the first down. You know, we've seen NFL quarterbacks just take that left, and he's out of danger. He runs almost to contact, and that's, I think that's when he seemed to have a groin issue.
No, I think he was trying to get out on that play. I think the one you're talking about, but I think it may have occurred on him trying to get out. So, But we're going to constantly coach it and emphasize it with him. And there's a lot of things that, you know, I saw out of Mike that we've emphasized since we got here that I was happy with. And there are some other things that's still working on, and he knows he's still going to work on it. So
sliding, is that one? I mean, it seems to head first slide more than leg first.
Yeah, I think that's the way Mike likes to do it. You know, I think that's the way he's going to do it. So we just got to make sure that we can put him in a little bit better situation than that. But I don't think we're going to get him hook sliding, I can tell you that.
Have you felt compelled to call the league about some of these injuries that the Redskins were having with leg cramps happening at certain times?
I have no issues with any of that stuff. So
that's on tough. On those head first slides, though, it seems like every time he takes a kidney or rib shot hard from the defender, I mean, that's not going to pile up as games go by.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't, but I'm also realistic in terms of I don't think at 33 we're going to get him to hook slide. So, you know, that's just, you know, we can talk about it and wish for it, and I don't see that happening.
What did you see from the offensive line last night? It seems like they gave Mike a good amount of time to throw the ball.
I saw a team play their first game, you know, and I thought at times we, you know, the first touchdown pass, he looked at Deshaun and outstanding protection and did a really good job. And then some other times we had, you know, it's a loud stadium, some communication issues where not everybody, all five of them, were on the same page. So we got some leakage inside. But, you know, I think that's to be expected in the first game. You know, you don't want it to happen, but I think you understand where we are. It's still a relatively new group together. Jason missed some time during camp. Lane's a rookie. You know, everybody getting together, learning a whole new system. So, you know, I was pleased, but we still got a lot of work to do and a long way to go with that group. But, you know, I, like everybody in our entire group, I like their effort, but there's so many things we can continue to work on. So,
is anyone who played last night in jeopardy of not being able to practice?
Yeah, Bradley Fletcher is out right now with a concussion, and we don't know. I mean, there's a protocol to go through for the whole thing, but he's the only guy that that's a concern for us right now.
When did that happen?
In the game. I don't know the specific play.
Who's going to take his place?
When you run so many plays like you guys did, and McCoy had so many carries, and the way you want to run this offense, how much do you have to worry about injuries to your star players and any players?
I think you're concerned with injuries no matter how you are, but, you know, we were in the 70s. There was a lot more teams that ran more plays than we did. So, again, we talked about we need to rotate, especially at the skill positions with the way we run. We need to rotate guys, you know, at the receiver spot and at the running back spot. And we'll continue to do that as our packages, you know, get a little bit different depending on who we're going to play. You know, we wanted to feature certain things against the Redskins, but the Chargers are a different opponent, so that'll change. But you know, we need to make sure that we're cognizant of how many snaps guys are getting. So,
is that the reason you brought Hughes back? Was to
no, we know I think Brandon being back is a huge help for us. But I know we had talked about bringing Brandon back all along. So,
how close is he with the hand?
He should be able to practice tomorrow. So,
when you guys had the tape, how surprised you think they were?
Do you guys get aggravated when someone talks over you?
We fight afterwards.
Not used to it.
Fight afterwards.
You do fight afterwards?
Yeah, definitely.
Every day.
When you were able to look at the game, how surprised do you think they were with some of the things you were doing, and how much do you think was you guys out executing them?
I don't know about the surprise factor. A lot of things that we ran, they've seen on tape. So, you know, we did it when we were at Oregon, and I don't think they were ill prepared, so I don't think there was a surprise factor, to be honest with you.
On the one formation, you had two tackles lined up wide and everything. What were you kind of looking for in that?
They were just tired, and we didn't want them to run back to the ball, so we told them to hang out there.
Did anybody stand out on tape maybe more than you saw it live?
Stand out? No. You know, I think overall as a group, though, and I said it last night, is I think their efforts were outstanding, but there's a whole ton of work for us to continue to do in every facet, you know. But I think the one thing that we'll harp upon and we'll always continue to do is if you play hard, you got a shot at winning each week, and that's what I thought they did. But there wasn't, you know, there wasn't like, oh, my God, I didn't really realize that. But there were a lot of guys that I felt played really well last night. When you see the tape again, you know, I thought they did, so.
In the OTAs, we asked you a lot about the players, the players buying in. Last night, from their words, it sounded like not only did they buy in, but
they were salesmen for it. Did you think it was going to happen this fast? And do you think that has any quickening effect in terms of the team's effectiveness as you go forward, if they have some ownership this early into the process?
Yeah, I didn't have any preconceived notions on how long it would take or where it would go from that standpoint. But I think in any organization, any business, any group, I think when you have total buy-in and everybody's committed to the same vision and the same goals, you're going to ultimately be successful. And I think, you know, that's what we constantly preach here, is that, you know, we have a vision, we have a mission that we're on, and that our daily habits have to reflect the mission. And we got a bunch of guys that understand that. And they understand that if they're investing in themselves, they're investing in the team. And ultimately, you know, we all have the same common goal. You know, I think our job as a coaching staff is just to make sure that they understand what that vision is and show them how to get there, and then honestly just get out of their way and let them go do it. So
very active, and why did James Casey only take 2 snaps on offense?
You don't get 2 questions, you get 1 question.
I'm being efficient here. I'm trying to learn from you.
I was going to ask one of those. So
why was Vinny Curry inactive? Just because we were only going to have 60 linemen active for the game. So
was that a defensive decision or a special teams decision?
Combination of the two.
Was it also because the Redskins run a lot? Do you guys consider him a pass rusher? Was that a situational decision?
It was just a combination of what our depth is, and we're going to have 60 linemen active. We weren't going to have 7. And then we always factor in when it comes in the backup guys, special teams.
In the zone read, does Michael always have multiple options?
Always? No.
Most of the time, does he?
No. It just depends on what we call. So, I guess the answer is not always. I mean, it just depends on how I play call it. There could be times where there's never an option. You know, that's just depending on how we call the play and we formation the play and we block the play. So,
because it always seems like there's a safety valve. You know, if he's not going to hand off, there's a bubble screen always. You know, or if there's not handing off, there's maybe a quick hit.
Are. I'm not arguing the fact that there are, but the question was, are there always options? No, there's times when we call a play and the play says hand the ball off no matter what, because that's how it's blocked up. So it's not an always. I think that's the one thing, is we don't always run the same play. We don't always have the same options. And I think that's what, you know, makes the defense have to be very honest in terms of how they play you, because if there's always one way to do it, then there's always going to be one way to defend it. So we have a wide variety in terms of how we can do it, who we're going to read, and what we're going to be able to give him. But the play call is real specific in terms of what he has on that particular play. And there are some times when he has 1 read, sometimes he has 2 reads. There are other times when he has absolutely no reads. It's catch a snap and hand the ball off no matter what the look is. And we as play callers kind of change that for him so that the defense is included on that. So
what made this touchdown run work so well? What made that play? I mean, there was one guy on that side of the field, one Redskin,
yeah,
and he took off.
You know, I just think we were taking advantage of their pursuit, you know, and at that point, the way our running backs were running the ball, I would be pursuing too. So, you know, it's just when you do get into, and you go to Jeff's question, that there are times when you can have them read a different person, and that's all we did on that play. But it was, you know, I think very well executed up front, blocked very well, you know, and gave him an opportunity to take advantage of. If a defense is going to be over aggressive towards one aspect of the game, you got to hopefully have an answer for it, and that's what we had. So,
4 days after the Chargers, is there a concern with this group that, you know, they might have a hard time focusing on the Chargers with, you know, the Chiefs 4 days later?
You lost me on that one. We got 1 game.
Focus. I mean, you know, we haven't followed an NFL season. You play the Chargers Sunday, but 4 days later you play the Chiefs and the former head coach of a lot of these guys. Is there any concern?
No. I mean, I didn't even think of it until you asked me the question. I didn't know where you were going with it, but I think we've known this schedule since we got here. So when we know that every game's the ultimate and the ultimate importance for us. So there's no way you can say, hey, we got another game next Thursday, and let's focus and concentrate on that. As I think everybody's attention is on getting ready to play San Diego, and that's what this thing's all about. Is every week is a season, you know, and we got a little rhythm that we got to get into. Our rhythm's thrown off a little bit because of the schedule, but our guys know it was done with the Redskins last night, and we're on to the Chargers today, and then when the Chargers game is over on Sunday, then we go on to the next opponent, and that's how it has to work in this league for you to be successful. So,
more questions, guys. With James Casey, is there more value with him right now on special teams than on the offense?
No, what formations are we running? We were in a ton of 11 personnel last night. So in 11 personnel, he's not in the game. But a lot of times that dictates what they do, because if we're in 11, they get more DBs in the game, you know. And so that was kind of some of our thought process going into that game. That was it. So it has nothing to do with James's ability or what we're happy with him, not happy with him. It's that, you know, sometimes we're going to feature three tight ends prominently in a weekly game plan. Other times we're gonna be a little bit more spread. And last night we were just a little bit more spread. So.
A lot of talk is about how dynamic the offense is, but some of the Redskins players were talking after the game about they didn't expect in practice for so much of the defensive things that you threw at them. I mean, how much more dynamic can this defense be, especially starting over and learning the system?
I think our defense is still growing, and we've said that since day one we got here. You know, we were going from a wide nine to a 3-4, and, you know, where that eventually stops. It depends on our coaches doing a really good job, which I think they are doing, of assessing our players and trying to put them in situations where they can make plays. But, you know, we've played one full game, you know, and I was pleased, again, with our effort. We still made some mistakes, but, you know, I think each day you see our defense getting better and better and better. But, you know, I don't think we're scheme coaches. I think we're practice coaches. And as we continue to emphasize fundamentals and emphasize their understanding, the better off we'll get at this thing. So, you know, I think for what we did in the first game, you know, I was happy with how we played defensively. But we still got a long way to go there, just like we do in special teams, just like we do on offense. So.
One game made a huge splash. Did you get a lot of texts, a lot of calls from people that you know or in coaching around the country?
Yeah, I mean, I have friends that were happy about the game. But
more than you would have thought? What was it? What was it like? Was it?
Do you want to know how many friends I have? Is that the question?
Yeah, how many exactly?
Give me even number. It was. I don't have a specific number for you. It was a good feeling. You know, I think anytime you can start off like we did and be successful in the first game. You know, I think people were genuinely excited about that. So, you know, but. It's a what have you done for me lately league, and by the time we get back on the field tomorrow, no one's talking about what went on last Monday. So,
taking into account the rotating of skill players, how can you ultimately keep up this same pace through the course of 16 games? Are you guys just in better shape than everybody else?
I don't know, and I can't, you know, it would be very presumptuous of me to talk about the shape of other teams because I've never watched them train. So, but I know our team's in shape, and I know how we train, and we're pretty specific in how we do that. So I believe we can keep up what we're doing right now just because we've been doing this since April, you know. And I think if you're going to wait till the week before you play us to say, hey, we got to get some extra sprinting in, then I think it's too late. You know, it's been an ongoing process for us, and we've always built it that way. You know, it's not just this is what we do on game day. This is what we've done since our guys have been with us on April 1st. So.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All righty, that is Chip Kelly, 19 minutes of gold. From the head coach here. The news coming out of that, Brandon Hughes back with the football team. He'll likely practice on Wednesday. Bradley Fletcher, a concussion coming out of Monday night's win. We'll see what that means later in the week. So the Eagles at the cornerback position still a little bit in flux there. Eagles fans, want to remind you of the special we have today in our online store. Free shipping, because when the Eagles win, you win. Free shipping on orders over $50 today only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Use the code START2013 at checkout. Shop now on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. When we return to Eagles Live, we take more of your phone calls, 215-339-6709. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a southern style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon. America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Gold Rush, with 15 top prizes of $300,000. It's kind of fun to make a splash. Keep on scratching.
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Live, the name of the show. We return tomorrow, Wednesday. Merrill Reese joins me here in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's get a couple of phone calls in before we call it a day. Will in Delaware joins us. Hey, Will. Yo,
hey,
yo, yo. What's up?
How you doing?
Come on, how
Thank
am I doing?
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations to Chip Kelly and his NFL debut and just awesome, spectacular play both sides of the ball.
Made you jump out of your seat, didn't it?
Oh, I was screaming, just tickled to death. It was just, I knew it was going to be up tempo, but come on, nobody saw 53.
What is the over under? And there was one last night, which was shocking. But what is the over under?
21 if the defense showed up and the defense surprised me. That 27 was
well.
Awesome.
Hang on, let me get this out. What is the over under for times the Eagles are called for delay of game this season?
Oh, I saw at least zero.
No, but there was one last night, I think.
Throwing it down. Yeah, there was one but I think the refs are throwing flags to throw it down. I don't think the refs can keep up.
Well, I know that it is very taxing, and I'm serious about this. It's very taxing for the chain gang. There really is no rest. I mean, you got to get up and move the chains. You can't wait. You don't have that 10, 15 seconds while the teams huddle up. So,
I saw him slipping and falling on the sidelines trying to run down. I saw it in the refs, too.
That's one thing that concerns me.
Awesome game, though, Dave. Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun, man. And it's always fun to beat the Redskins, division rival. They're the team to beat in the NFC East. And it was a huge road win.
Hey, I got one quick question before I go.
Yes, sir.
Hey, did the Eagles have any interest in pre-safety Kerry Rhodes? Your thoughts on that?
Thank you for the call. No, I don't think so. Kerry Rhodes, formerly a really fine player in Arizona. I believe he also played in Miami. I don't know what's going on with Kerry Rhodes. Has he been banged up a little bit or he's got some age on him? But I've not heard the name here. So I think the Eagles were pretty darn pleased last night with Patrick Chung. Nate Allen and Earl Wolf split time at the other safety spot. And, you know, you still have got Kirk Coleman, Colt Anderson. So I think the Eagles feel pretty good about that group right there. And if they can get the pressure throughout the season that they got up front last night, inside blitzes, bring the cornerback off the edge like Kerry did, get Trent Cole off the edge, Fletcher Cox some inside push, you got a pretty good shot to take care of that secondary. All right, let's go to Virginia once again. And Barry joins us. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Good morning to you. Look,
good morning to you. Good afternoon.
Long-time Eagle fan when they used to play at Conimax Stadium.
Oh, thank you.
Pottstown Firebirds is their training.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Look, how come they're not giving Mike Vick some accolades there? Last night he was out there blocking quarterback.
Who's not giving him accolades, though?
I mean, I was looking at some stations, you know, like ESPN. And then give him the credit. You know, the man's out there. He's playing football. You don't see too many quarterbacks blocking.
Yeah, I would disagree in the sense, Barry, that I think he's gotten – thank you very much for the phone call. That he's gotten plenty of accolades. But I think the story from a national perspective and to a degree from a local perspective is the debut of Chip Kelly and the different approach to playing the game and the different tempo that the Eagles brought to the game. Even though it slowed down in the second half, the Eagles had 53 offensive plays in the first half, 24 in the second half. You know, look at those numbers in the first half. I mean, 53 plays, 322 yards. I mean, clearly can't keep up that pace, but wow, that's crazy, those numbers. All right, let's take one more phone call here. Gary in Southwest Florida, our big winner from the prediction last week. Gary, you've got a big-time autographed item coming your way.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know yet. I got to go up and look.
You know, I've been close a lot of times, but that's the first time I won. And well, it's been years and years of doing this.
Well, we'll take predictions tomorrow and Thursday, and I don't know what we have up there, but whatever we have, Gary, it's yours. So you got to send us an email at webteam@philadelphiaeagles.com.
Webteam?
Yes.
@philadelphiaeagles.com. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I got a couple of things real quick.
Sure.
Did you see that call when they said it was a lateral?
Yes.
I mean, I saw that about 20 times, and it still looked like a forward pass.
Well, the problem is that it was initially called a lateral, and the evidence wasn't, quote, conclusive enough to overturn. The evidence has to be conclusive, or there's no ruling overturn. Now, it looked to me that it was a forward pass. It looked to you that it was a forward pass. It looked to ESPN and their official that they brought in that it was a forward pass, but it was not conclusive to those reviewing the replay.
Oh, I tell you, that was very disappointing. You know, that was probably the best game I've seen the Eagles play in several years. I mean, the first half, I should say. I thought they backed off a little too soon, but, you know, that's not my decision. But
yeah, I think they learned from that.
It was great, and then I can't wait to see what we do against San Diego this Sunday. That should be good.
I agree.
And it was just great. I was glad to be an Eagle fan.
I'm glad. Hey, isn't it nice to feel that way after a couple of tough years here?
It was, you know, unbelievable. I had so many phone calls during the game that I almost couldn't watch it. You know, I bet I had 25 phone calls.
Well, I think that the ESPN, thanks for the call, Gary. We look forward to hearing from you. A lot of Eagles fans in attendance, but I think I've been told by our ace producer here, our audio producer, James Seltzer, that the game last night, the TV ratings were the highest since Monday Night Football has been on ESPN. We have not seen anything official on that, but he's an ESPN guy, so he would know. But the ratings were ridiculously good, and the electricity in the building was fantastic, and those Eagles fans were happy from start to finish, just like you were, just like I am today. We return tomorrow at 11 o'clock with Eagles Live. Make sure you're with us then. We will still look back a little bit at the Redskins, but it's time to focus on the San Diego Chargers. Eagles trying to get their second win of this young 2013 season. We thank you for joining us today on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Hope you have a great Eagles Day. I'll fight for you.